You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, amazing analytic antelopes who always answer accurately. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 175. And I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your extraordinary MCs who exceed expectations, exposing everyone's ears to evidence, experiences, and entertainment.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris. And that's all, a listener submission.
All by one person.
Oh, really?
The front and the back, yeah. From Dana, not our Dana.
Oh, well, you know, it was brilliant, Dana.
So I went to our Good Job Brain mailbox, and we have a bunch of stuff, including more skits.
Thanks for the Omaha steaks, which we had to throw away.
Aww. You always joke about it. People are really good, because when they do send in food stuff, they write an email to tell me just so
it's not sitting there. Oh, that's good. Yeah, to get into the...
This food she emailed me about, because it's more Scandinavian candy, which...
We can't seem to escape it.
Yeah, we will try later. Ashley, she basically went to the candy store and kind of like made a tiered bag of different, I think by severity of the candy.
Thank you.
That's how I like to grade my candies.
Anyway, she sent us a nice, nice postcard.
Tivoli Gardens,
yes. Tivoli Gardens, which is in Copenhagen, or Copenhagen, which is the inspiration for Disneyland. Yeah. When Walt Disney went there, he's like, oh, it's really clean. I wish America Parks would be that clean. I'll make my own. Anyways, thank you, Ashley. And then we also have a Rubik's Cube.
But it's not a Rubik's Cube. It's a third-party puzzle cube.
Puzzle cube.
Is it from Japan?
Reminiscent. It's from China.
Famous by
Rubik's.
In the style of.
Endorsed by a speed cuber.
Let's
From China.
Oh, yeah.
Colin, you had a segment about Rubik's Cube.
Right, and noting that a lot of the professional speed cubers don't use the official Rubik's brand.
Here's... Chris sent us this. Time to fulfill your life goal, Karen. Although, try and share it with the other hosts. Or not.
Oh, he says or not?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, he really went back and forth and back and forth on that one. This is for you. Although, you can share it with the others.
Or don't.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to tell them.
Does it feel smoother?
It rotates really smoothly.
I can see
why if I were a speed cuber, I might want to use one of these. Yeah.
Whoa. It's like butter. No wonder. No wonder those.
Oh, it really does. Oh, yeah. You don't really know it until you start messing around with it.
This is why I haven't been able to crack 6 seconds.
Exactly. That's it. Also, the fact that you don't know how to solve a Rubik's Cube.
Right. The fact that even with the help of YouTube, it took me 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Thanks, Chris. Not you, Chris.
So we had a present from a Dana and a present from a Chris.
So where's the Colin and the Karen?
No. They don't exist.
People with those names are less generous. I don't know if you.
It is known.
Yeah.
And we have one more piece of mail, Chris. Would you?
I will read this letter. Karen, I received these from the Chicago Toy and Game Expo a few years ago.
I didn't have to read it that way.
As a freebie. I opened them for the first time at a game night a few months ago and could not answer a single question. You will likely fare better. I love the show. Liz.
Liz.
All right.
And Liz, with her letter, sent us this freebie that she got, Trivia on the Go TV Edition. Okay. And today, this will be our pop quiz hot shot.
Okay, all right. TV Edition. What year, I wonder, is there a copyright date on there anywhere?
Well, she got them a few years ago.
Okay.
2004. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glancing. Some of these are...
Okay. Well, have at it.
So the premise is I'm going to choose a random trivia card, usually Trivial Pursuit, but this time it's from Liz, Trivia on the Go TV Edition. You guys have your barnyard buzzers. Let's answer some questions, and hopefully we fare better. There are a lot of questions. Yeah, I'll just read all of them. All right. So all these questions are multiple choice. I'm going to ask the question, see if you know the answer first.
Sure, okay.
And if not, then I'll share the answer.
Okay.
All right. Whose alter ego is Jiminy Glick? Oh, Dana.
Oh, it's Martin Short.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Martin Short from Saturday Night Live. Off to a good start already. What was the most watched movie on television out of these three? Roots, The Day After, or Gone with the Wind? Colin.
That was Roots, I believe.
Roots, correct. Yeah. All right. In the 2002 to 2003 season, what was the most popular TV show out of these three? Friends, CSI, just the Vegas one, the original one, or Jill Millionaire? Oh. Chris.
You know what? I'm going to throw a line in here, and I'm going to say Joe Millionaire.
Incorrect.
Dang it.
CSI?
Yes, it is, yeah. CSI. Oh, okay. This is the tail end of Friends, and this is when CSI fever was hitting it big.
Right.
What was Joe Millionaire? That was the one where he turns out he's not a millionaire.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. When you least suspect it, you're elected. You're the star today. Is from what show?
When you least suspect it, you're elected.
Colin.
America's Funniest Home Videos.
You are very close. It is Candid Camera.
Okay.
Oh, the song.
Hmm.
Red, that makes sense, actually.
Blue.
That's America's Funniest.
Oh, that's, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Candid Camera makes more sense.
They did pranks, so before you.
Oh, that's
you
true.
Didn't know
America's Funniest Videos is just crowdsourced.
It was like punked.
Which TV show host underwent a colonoscopy on air in 2000?
Oh.
Colin.
Was that Hugh Downs?
Incorrect. Mm. Chris.
David Letterman?
No.
Was it Matt Lauer?
No, but you're kind of close. It is Kitty Couric.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
What's colonoscopy?
They scope your colon.
In your colon.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. What cereal has the flavors of raspberry red, lemon yellow, and orange? Dana.
Is it Trix?
It is Trix.
Mm, yeah.
Very citrusy.
All right. Yeah. Right. Lots of questions this one. All right. Who played Detective Mary Beth Lacey in Cagney and Lacey?
Mary Beth, I think, was Tyne Daly.
Wow!
Yeah. It was 50-50. It's either Sharon Gless or Tyne Daly.
Yeah. We got three more questions on this card. On what show did Frank Poncherello patrol the highways of California? Everybody!
Chips!
Chips.
Yeah.
Ponch.
I love that show. So
I love that show. I watched that.
Do they have a lot of episodes about hang gliding? I really remember. Like, there were hang gliding.
Some people in California love
that happened
love
in
hang gliding.
Chips.
I would say that. If they had more than one episode, that counts as
too
a
many.
Lot. Yeah.
I think there might have been more than one. I could be wrong. I was a little kid, but.
All right. Next question. On The Waltons, which I think is like Colin's favorite show or something, because you know a lot about Waltons. Mm. What profession did Mary Ellen choose?
I actually don't think I know a lot about The Waltons, but I'll get a school teacher.
Yeah, nurse.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Last question.
It's the same thing. Okay.
It's not the same thing.
Last question. What was the name of Zorro's black horse?
Oh. I don't remember this one. Yeah.
That's not Silver. That's
the Lone Ranger.
Is it a Spanish name?
It's not Trigger.
Is this multiple choice? Yeah. Do we have some options?
Yeah, what are the multiple choice?
Yeah, multiple choice.
This is why I was laughing, because multiple choices. Okay. All right.
All right.
Is it A, Tornado, B, Blackie, C, Cole? C-O-A-L.
Right.
Not C-O-L-E.
I hope it's Cole.
It's not.
It's Blackie.
No, it's Tornado.
Okay. I was gonna say Tornado.
Okay, all right.
That was a well-designed question. Two of them were about Black.
Yeah. Good job, Braids. We did pretty well.
Not bad. Before we get started, I have a very good job brain headline to share with you guys.
That was weird. I have a very good job, and I was like, oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Just to let you guys know.
This is my last show. I'm out of here. So it was, of course, Valentine's Day just over this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So happy retroactive Valentine's Day to everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a Valentine's-related story and an animal-related story.
Oh.
Yeah. And I want to say that this story is also just, if I may editorialize, this is a great example of how if you've got a really good story, you don't need a very clickbaity headline. Just tell the story.
Straight out.
This is from station KOMO in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, homo.
Seattle Aquarium cancels octopus sex act due to cannibalism concerns.
Oh, no!
The octopus at the Seattle Aquarium won't be getting any love this Valentine's Day. Each Valentine's Day, the aquarium invites people to watch the sea creatures mate, but this year the chance to watch some eight-armed nookie has been called off. Aquarium staff say they're afraid that their male octopus, a 70-pound cephalopod named Kong, is too big for the females, who are 30 to 40 pounds, and he may eat them. So I went on to learn that apparently sexual cannibalism, as it is called, is not unheard of among octopus.
Black widows.
Yes, and spiders as well. Yeah. So I guess they decided if you're going to invite people to come in and watch this would be probably the most unromantic way to end.
Yeah. Or traumatic for kids.
Yeah, so they called off the planned octopus sex act. Instead of mating, Kong will be released back into Puget Sound Monday.
He doesn't live there.
This was just a temporary gig. Yeah.
They don't live very long. Only 3 or 4 years.
Right. So octopuses only live, as the article goes on, octopuses only live about 3 or 4 years, and they mate once at the end of their lives.
Gotcha.
Then they die.
So that's why they would have the octopus porno party.
Yeah.
Because you ordinarily would not get a chance to witness it.
You can also see why this doesn't interfere with their life cycle. If you kill your sex partner, if you're already at the end of your natural life cycle anyway,
Do you kill your sex partner?
You know, I would need somebody more qualified in animal behavior to answer that.
They're going
to
die. They don't necessarily need...
It's all about you're making sure that your offspring have the best chances.
Yeah.
You're like,
weird.
I don't want to provide for you. I only provide for our kids.
They say that there are some species actually where the female will eat the male after mating. It just so happened that in this case, the male was just so much bigger than the females.
Size differential.
Their eggs are outside of their body after they're fertilized?
What am I, an octopus doctor?
I like how you read one article and you become like
Dr.
So today is episode 175, and of course, every fifth episode, we don't have a topic. We have a grab bag, just all of us prepared quizzes and puzzles to quiz each other and quiz you guys, listeners. So this week, it's our all quiz bonanza number 35. You read through our Twitter a lot, and we get a lot of feedback. Did you see someone actually did find a dictionary with door?
I saw it this morning.
That.
I was so happy.
That's great.
One of the main, I wouldn't say complaints, let's just say feedback, and that our music segments lack diversity. Mm-hmm. And I can see how maybe, you know, our musical tastes that we share on the show is kind of reflecting our pub quiz experience. It's a funny thing with pub trivia music because it has to be on the radio, it has to be well known. It can't be too not unwell known, or else it's not fun.
When they do that, like sometimes we'll know it just because we happen to know it, but it's like nobody else knows it, and people get upset. And I know that when we're making these quizzes, we're also designing them for each other. So it's like, oh, I don't want to have like a quiz full of country. You guys will be sad because you won't get any.
I'm sure we could all stump each other if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, with that said.
So that's why that happens. But
one of the genres that we don't do a lot, and I have made a quiz that you guys will have to write down.
Okay.
And now we haven't done a lot of classical music.
You're a classical expert.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I'm the one.
Well,
and we just are like, Karen, what is this?
Thanks to years of violin and piano. So what I have done is I'm not like, oh, here are my favorite tunes. Like, I've curated songs that we usually get in pub trivia.
Okay.
And you have to name the composer.
Okay.
So these are big, famous ones that you'll recognize, but you might not know who the composer is. That is your challenge, is to write down the composer.
All right.
And we'll see how it goes.
So I have a question. Yes. Are any composers repeated?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no repeated composers. Okay. All unique.
I have a question.
So we can use process of elimination.
You can.
Yeah, right. Is the answer to the first one Beethoven?
No.
Okay.
All right. one guard lies, and the other guard always speaks the truth.
Thank you, Cullen.
No need for full name. You can just do last name.
Okay.
Here we go. The Good Job Brain, our first inaugural classical music quiz. This will be helpful in pub trivia. Here we go.
Pomp and circumstance.
It's right. Oh,
well,
okay.
That's the name of the, yeah. Right. Those are the lyrics. Those are the lyrics.
Circumstance. Answers up. Oh. Chris says Handel. Colin says Elgar. Dana says...
Dana has like three answers already.
I'm just going to pre-write Mozart on this, but I wrote Mozart and then I crossed it out and I said Pachelbel?
It is Elgar. Elgar. Correct. Pomp and Circumstance. Elgar, not Beethoven. I promised you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Known as the Graduation March.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Famously. And if you watch Fantasia, it was the one, Fantasia 2000 was the one with Donald and Daisy and their Noah's Ark.
Hmm.
Doesn't help me.
Next one.
Mm-hmm.
Answers up, everybody. Chris says, I can't... Wow, your handwriting is weird.
Is it that bad? Tchaikovsky?
I put Stravinsky.
Put Mozart.
But I think it's...
you wrote a lot of...
You might as... You know, if you keep guessing Mozart...
yeah, eventually.
One right. That might be more than me.
Chris is right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
you are
Swan
correct.
Lake.
Nutcracker.
Oh, Nutcracker. Yeah.
Well, this is the Waltz of the... Waltz of the Flowers. You know, pub quiz trick. If anything's... Sounds like a Home Alone movie or anything that's Christmassy. It's gonna be Tchaikovsky.
Oh, sure.
It's gonna be a Nutcracker song. Anything that is like remotely makes you think of the holidays, it's gonna be that. It's
okay.
Because there's like 10 songs, like a bunch of songs within the suite. So, and they're all used in like every Christmas movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next one. All right, answers up. Chris, can you just read it?
You always want me to read it. Pachelbel.
Pachelbel's
canon.
I also put Pachelbel.
So I agree with that that's the answer, but I wrote... but that's not what I wrote. I wrote Vivaldi? Verde? I was like, I don't know.
Starts with a V.
Those are two different
And then you say Pachelbel. I'm like, oh yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
I think it's Pachelbel. I don't know how you pronounce Pachelbel. That was, of course, very famous canon... in D major, used in many weddings, mm-hmm. and in a Timothy Hutton movie, Ordinary People, that was based on a book.
It's been used in a lot of movies.
Lot of movies. So weddings, think this, Pachelbel. Pachelbel.
Okay. That was the, it's in so canon. Many weddings that when I got married, I asked Regina, I was just like, oh, can so, we, what? Oh. No, she was just, I was just like, you know, what music? She's like, not canon in D. It's the only one I definitely don't want to have. Overplayed.
And you're like, oh, I'm
like,
okay,
all right.
Sure,
right, whatever you
no,
say,
no problem.
Yeah,
that is not the hill we're gonna die on. It's funny.
Here we go, next one. da, da, da. And answers up. Chris, you
said Vivaldi.
Colin, you said?
I said Stravinsky.
Dana, you said?
Left it on Mozart.
Left it on Mozart. It is Johann Strauss.
Right. Of course, Strauss. Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Blue Danube? Is that
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Blue Danube. Johann Strauss. I don't know what's a nice way to remember it. It just
didn't... I just remember it from 2001, but clearly it didn't help me just now.
Okay.
I got as far as the STR, and my brain just shut down.
Very waltzy name.
Mm.
All
right. Mm-hmm.
Strauss House.
House
the
noob.
I don't know.
I think just listening to them is really.
Yeah,
I don't think there are any. I don't think there are a lot of shortcuts. Yeah.
Mm. Let's do one last one. Let's
Mozart. End strong. Let's end strong here. Okay, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be Mozart, and Dana's not going to put Mozart.
Let's do two more.
Okay.
Next one. What'd you say?
I said so jazzy.
Maybe that's a clue.
Well,
all right. Chris says Gershwin.
Colin also says Gershwin.
I just loved it. I was like, I'm going to change it. I was like, what a jazzy Mozart piece.
Mozart was so ahead of his time. He really.
Like, that doesn't even make sense.
Visionary.
I'm going to leave it because it's going to be it's gonna be like Peter and the Wolf or something. It'll be so confused.
Just loved it. At
I was like, I think I heard that instrument.
Mozart. Oh my God. It is Gershwin.
Is it Rhapsody in Blue?
Rhapsody in Blue, also known as the United Music. The United. All the ads, the safety videos. I mean, United has been using Rhapsody in Blue for, God, since I was a kid, and they're still using it. So every time I hear it, I'm not thinking Gershwin. I'm thinking it's United. United
it's a
Airlines.
Triumph of marketing.
Yeah. And, you know, the clue is it's classical, but it's not what you think classical music is.
It sounds very modern age,
and that's usually Gershwin.
Okay,
all right, last one. Let's end strong.
Here we go, maximum effort.
Gershwin. All right, last one. Come on, let's end strong. Chris says Mozart. Colin says Mozart. Dana says
Mozart. The pin broke.
Squigglies. Yeah. It is Mozart.
Hey!
I was like, oh my God, is this Beethoven? That's what my thought was.
So this is so here's the thing. I mean, a lot of people get Mozart and Beethoven. I mean, just for pub quiz logic. Anything that's more somber or heavier is going to be Beethoven. Mm-hmm. They're going to be playing probably the greatest hits of Mozart at pub trivia. It's going to be more light. Mm. This is Ein kleine Nachtmusik, a little bit of night music, and it's very like jaunty. You know, if you watch Amadeus, he's like kind of a
whimsical,
nutty guy. Yeah, he's a whimsical guy. I went for nutty, but whimsical works.
Yeah.
So here you go. Hopefully that's a little bit more diverse in our music offerings on Good Job Brain.
It's like taking our medicine. Thank you, Karen. We need to take our medicine. Yeah. All right. I'll go next. And I'll go to the other end of the spectrum here. I've got a 50-50 quiz for you guys.
Why are we doing quizzes on stuff we hate?
You know, it's so funny. Like, I always say that I hate 50-50 quizzes, but I find that I put a lot of 50-50 quizzes together, so I guess I'm a hypocrite in that sense.
Yes.
Well, no, you're putting it together. You don't have to answer it.
Yeah.
It's like, that internal dialogue. You're like, is it this? And you're being like, you're convincing.
Yeah.
Both
the mind game.
I'm really good about talking myself into and then out of the right answer on things.
Yeah.
This past weekend was the NBA All-Star Game. It was also the release of the teaser trailer for the upcoming season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes.
Which I was also excited about.
Yes.
Okay.
One thing I do a lot when I'm watching sports or basketball is if I see a player that has a really cool name, like I'll say to my wife, like, oh, that guy's got a really good movie villain name, or that player's got a really good Game of Thrones name.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, I've always thought there's a player named Bruce Bowen. He doesn't play anymore, but I always thought Bruce Bowen is such a great Game of Thrones name. It reminds me of Bowen Marsh. So I have a quiz for you guys that involves two things that I love and, at best, one thing that you may like a lot. Okay. This quiz is called NBA or Game of Thrones.
Okay.
The game where we see if you can tell your Bruce Bowen from your Bowen Marsh. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read out a name.
Amazing.
This will be a name of either a person who has played in the NBA at some point in the past, maybe currently, or it'll be a name of a... I'm not even going to say secondary. It'll be the name of a minor character from the Game of Thrones saga.
Because we're already familiar with
it. Right.
Should have gone Game of Thrones or Game of Basketball.
Yeah. These are names taken from the books, from the Song of Ice and Fire series.
Okay.
There may be some famous NBA players in here, but I'm hoping that you guys know little enough about the NBA.
That is correct.
A good guess. A good bet.
Disclosure, is there anything from my fan fiction?
Not directly.
Have any of you read my fan?
That's expanded universe.
purely because this entertains me. Instead of having you guys write down the answers, NBA or Game of Thrones, I've made some flashcards here for you guys. One card has a basketball.
Colin.
Okay.
And the other card has a picture of the Iron Throne.
You make us look bad.
It looks wonderful. You could sell this in a...
Perhaps
you could sell this in a basketball game.
Oh my god, it's on shiny photo paper.
Yeah, I mean,
this is what happens when I have too much time to put a quiz together.
This is what happens when you realize your printer came with shiny photo paper.
Oh, as a trial. Yeah.
Chris is actually closer to the truth than he might realize. All right, so get your Iron Throne and or basketball cards ready.
All right.
I'm going now. I've printed these names out here so you can see how they're spelled. Maybe that'll help you. Maybe it won't.
Maybe.
All right. So here we go. You guys tell me. Here we go. First name, you tell me. NBA or Game of Thrones? Elgin Baylor.
Wow.
Man.
Elgin Baylor. And let's, okay, Karen's got hers up. Answer's up. All right. Dana and Karen both say Game of Thrones. Chris says NBA. It is, in fact, NBA.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That is a Game of Thrones name.
It is Baylor, but B-A-E-L-O-R.
Yeah. Elgin Baylor, yes. One of the greatest players in NBA history, in fact. A lifelong Laker.
Did you know that, Chris?
No. Well, had Colin not spelled it out for us, B-A-Y-L-O-R, I knew there wouldn't be names that are homophones.
Okay, got it.
There's a Baelish. Yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you know that there may be some names that are.
Okay. Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Again, there's over 1,000 characters.
True. I'm not saying that I knew it for sure. I'm saying that's how I got it.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the tipping point.
Nothing wrong with being right for the wrong reasons in this game. All right. Next name. Otto Hightower. NBA or Game of Thrones? Otto Hightower. Maybe he's a power forward. Maybe he's a knight.
Gosh.
I don't know.
It is such a mind game. I could see that being a basketball player's name.
Yes,
sure.
Yes.
But then maybe that's too easy.
My criteria for this quiz are fun names and names that could be either. All right, answers up. All right. Chris says NBA. Karen says Game of Thrones. Dana says NBA. Sir Otto Hightower. Sir Otto Hightower was a knight in the House Hightower. It is Game of Thrones.
Maybe he...
he was British or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like that's a really normal fantasy name for Game of Thrones.
That's why. Okay. He was a Hand of the King to three different Targaryens.
Wow.
He wasn't even that minor.
Yeah. Next name, NBA or Game of Thrones? Mason Plumlee.
It's hard when there's like a job in the name, Mason.
Mason Plumlee. Answers up. You got to just go with your gut. All right. Dana says NBA. Karen says Game of Thrones. Chris says NBA. Mason Plumlee is in his third season out of Duke University, playing for the Portland Trail Blazers. So, point to Dana and
he's from
Chris.
Game of Thrones.
Yes. His older brother, Miles Plumlee, plays for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, wow.
And there's a third Plumlee, younger Plumlee, Marshall Plumlee. Huh. So, yeah, if you if you're in the Plumlee business,
this is
yeah.
currently the Plumleeest NBA you've ever seen.
All right, next one: Game of Thrones or NBA? Rufus Leak.
Ooh.
Rufus
wow.
Leak.
Ouch.
That's a good name.
It's a great name. It's not yeah. just a good name. It's a great name.
Yeah, it's really good.
Rufus Leak. Answers up. Everyone says Game of Thrones. Everyone is correct.
Yes. I got to separate myself from the pack.
Oh, yeah.
Answer differently.
There's a little bit of a strategy going into that. Yes, yeah, Sir Rufus Leak, a knight of House Leak.
House Leak.
He is described in One Wiki as short, stout, with a gray beard and an amputated left leg. He cannot read.
That's it.
I just like the last.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. All right, next one. Next one. NBA or Game of Thrones? Fennis Dembo.
Wow,
you're killing me here.
Fennis Dembo.
It's like pig Latin. It's like Dennis Fembo.
It does sound like a Switch name. It's a lot of fun to say.
Fennis
Dembo.
Yes.
Spoonerized. Yeah, Dennis Fembo.
Okay.
Fennis Dembo.
No.
All right, answers up. Man, answers up.
You guys could pull ahead.
Chris says Game of Thrones. Karen and Dana both say NBA. Fennis Dembo played one season for the Detroit Pistons. Oh. Let me give you an interesting little anecdote here about the name Fennis.
Yes,
this is from an article on ESPN.com. He has a twin sister named Fenice.
No.
They were the 11th and 12th children in the Dembo family, and their older sister was allowed basically to choose their names when they came along. So she suggested they be named after the French word for Finnish, Fini.
Oh, it's wow.
like,
so
no
like,
more
done.
Kids, right?
Wow.
We're done.
Now you're really okay. done.
We are really done. All right. we are all tied up here, by the way, for
Whoa.
Those of you keeping track here. All right. Next one. Next one. NBA or Game of Thrones? Morio Tumitis. Morio Tumitis.
That is a good name.
Is he a... Maybe a mercenary.
Are any of these both?
Maybe. Like, you know what? Yeah, I did actually... I double-checked.
Cross-reference?
None of these are both. All right. Dana says Game of Thrones. Karen and Chris both say NBA. Morio Tumitis is captain of the ship Storm Dancer.
Oh,
he is Tairashi. So it is Game of Thrones.
Is that from Tairosh? Oh,
well. They're the ones that have like the colored. They have like the colored beards. They dye their hair.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, think they've been in the show.
All right. So point two.
Or certainly have not been called out as such.
And Karen, yes.
No, I didn't get it.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't get it right.
All right, next one up. Here we go. NBA or Game of Thrones? Manfred Swan.
Wow.
Manfred
Man.
Swan.
That's a good name.
Manfred. It is a good name.
It's a good name for both. I'll say Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Chris says Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Karen, perhaps trying to be different, says NBA.
Maybe.
That's really just my strategy now.
Oh, yeah?
All right.
Dana says NBA. Sir Manfred Swan.
Yay!
Yes, from Game of Thrones.
Right.
Sir Barristan Selmy squired for Manfred Swan when he was a young up-and-coming squire.
That sounds familiar.
The spelling is interesting because it's like, oh, that...
I got it right.
But yeah,
no one,
Chris
no,
got it
I'm
right.
I'm not Karen, though. Okay, good. Making sure.
All right, three more. Still anyone's game. Here we go. Next one, NBA or Game of Thrones? Artis Gilmore.
Oh.
Artis Gilmore.
Mm.
Good poker face, Karen.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. Let me hold up the right answer. Or does she?
I don't.
Right.
I'm going to be different.
All right.
Even though
Dana
that is for sure a real name as well.
Yep. Dana says Game of Thrones. Karen and Chris both say NBA. Artis Gilmore is a Hall of Famer in the NBA.
Just kidding. I knew who that was. I got it up too early, and
yes.
I was like,
wait. Yeah,
I just realized that as I was there. I was like, oh, I know this. And
yes.
I was like, oh, no, everybody else knows that. Mm-hmm. I know.
All right. So point to Karen and point to Chris.
All right.
All right.
Pulling ahead.
NBA or Game of Thrones? Stromile Swift. Stromile Swift.
Stromile?
Stromile Swift.
Stromile.
This is Karen's thought process.
Probably Stromile.
Answers up. Wait. Chris says NBA. Karen says NBA, although she did wait until other people had her answers up. I want to point that out. Well, and yeah, Dana says Game of Thrones. Stromile Swift? NBA.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, he was a high draft pick, never really quite a superstar, but I think he has a superstar name in my book. Point to Karen, point to Chris. So Dana, unfortunately, two points behind. So right. Karen, you can tie here.
And
so
Karen can force the tiebreaker.
Yes. So right. Really, your strategy.
Just
I'm going to make you guys go blind. I'm going to make you guys choose because I don't because otherwise Karen's just going to go opposite whatever you do, Chris.
Okay. Oh, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Last one. Oh, this is a good one to end on. Otis Birdsong. Otis nice Birdsong. NBA player or Game of Thrones character? Otis Birdsong.
I'm throwing a wrench in the...
Throw that there.
I picked one.
All right. Karen's got her answer locked in.
All right.
You lock it in?
Yep.
All right.
Answers up. You both say Game of Thrones. You're both incorrect.
Oh,
Otis Birdsong. Oh, sorry. And Dana, with the correct answer, NBA. Yes, Otis Birdsong, an all-star for the Kansas City Kings, the New Jersey Nets. So, point to Dana.
Karen.
And you did at least. All right.
And that's it.
Chris
wins. Very close. Very close. Good job. All right. So, Chris, with a one-point victory.
I will tell you that I took advantage of the fact that these were both cards, and my answer was actually random.
I like it.
So I just went with it. Whatever card felt the best to me.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. Well,
good job.
I don't know what applicable knowledge this will have going forward in your lives, but it made me happy. So.
Wow. That was great.
I think
that
I've forgotten already what the answers are.
I did
thinking about those names.
You'll remember Fennis Dembo. If you see Fennis Dembo again.
Let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
And we're back. You're listening to our all-quiz bonanza number 35. And up next is Chris.
Yes. So not only was it Valentine's Day recently, it was also Grammys Day recently. Mm. The Grammys were on.
Like right now.
Industries. Well, yes, if we want to peek behind the curtain, they're actually on as we're recording this very podcast. So I have developed a Grammy-themed quiz for you guys that I think you're going to enjoy. We will write down our answers, so we will see who the Grammiest person is.
So competitive tonight.
See who's paying attention out there. And this quiz is titled, You Don't Have to Be Dead to Win a Grammy, But It Helps.
Okay.
That's terrible.
There are many Grammy Awards given out immediately following, well, you know, within a year of a famous person passing away. Now, a lot of these are Lifetime Achievement Awards or other such non-competitive Grammys that are given in sort of a recognition of the person's achievements or contributions to music over time. What I am talking about, what I'm going to be asking you about in this quiz, are competitive Grammys that were won by people who were not currently alive.
All right. Okay. Were they alive at the time they won it?
No.
Okay. Not.
No, they made the music,
passed
died,
away.
And then the Grammy ceremony gave them the Grammy.
Got it. Okay.
But they weren't there to get it.
I didn't even know that happened that much.
Posthumous. Okay. Posthumous Grammys. Kind of happens a lot because when someone passes away, especially if they've just
it'll
kind of sway the judges into like, well, we should give them this Grammy because
they're
not going to be making any more.
We're going to look like jerks if we don't.
Exactly. So, question one. Ray Charles has won approximately 17 Grammys.
Wow.
He won 5 of them after his death in a single night for what album of duets?
What album of his album?
Yeah, it's a Ray Charles album of duets. Won 5 Grammys for it immediately following his death in the middle 2000s.
Just gonna brainstorm names.
Yeah. All right. Answers up. Colin says Georgia on My Mind. Karen says duets W/Ray. And Dana says
Ray and Friends or Georgia.
That is, Ray and Friends is the closest.
Wow.
You don't get a point, but it is the closest. No, it's Genius Loves Company was the name of the Ray Charles album.
Very humble.
Yes. This guy won many Grammy Awards, including one in 1973 for his album AM and FM, another in 1994 for his album Jammin' in New York, and one in 2009 after his death for his album It's Bad for Ya.
What kind of music did you say? Did you say?
I'm sorry, did I say it was musical?
Oh, can you say it again?
Sure. This guy won many Grammy Awards, including one in 1973 for his album AM and FM, another in 1994 for Jammin' in New York, and one in 2009 after his death for his album It's Bad for Ya. He was not a musician.
Oh.
Colin says Eric Bogosian.
Tells me it's not the right answer. It's Bogosian.
Bogosian. There's a lot of lines there. Karen says Bill Hicks. Dana says George Carlin. It is George Carlin.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
Yes, indeed.
I was thinking
as soon as I saw that.
A hard 1 point. One in the Dana column.
Wow.
Nice.
I feel like I won the whole thing.
Let's stick with comedy.
Okay.
Last year, sticking with comedy, this late comedian won a posthumous Grammy for Best Spoken Word for her album, Diary of a Mad Diva. Diary of a Mad Diva. Do you want to put this together in your brain? As a comedian who won a posthumous Grammy last year, which means she died right before that.
What's her name?
I don't know. What's her name?
Shoot, it's...
Duke. Doop, 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 doop. Dana's written something and answers. Colin says Joan Rivers.
Oh.
Dana says Eileen Blank. Karen says Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers. Yeah.
It is Joan Rivers. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes, indeed.
You're thinking of Eileen Strick?
Elaine Stritch.
Close.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're thinking of Elaine Stritch, Karen. Yeah.
Joan Rivers,
Jack Donaghy's mom. So it's all tied up with 1 point each. In 2012,
okay.
A version of the jazz standard Body and Soul won a Grammy, and that was performed by Tony Bennett and whom?
Body and Soul.
2012. Again, we're thinking of somebody who would sing with Tony Bennett, who passed away in the year 2011, because the 2012 Grammys very early in the year,
okay.
So... Wrapping up 2011. Dana writing? Has an answer. Colin is thinking. Karen is writing. I want answers now.
Elaine
Dana,
Stritch.
Colin says Elaine Stritch. Dana says Amy Winehouse.
Oh.
Harris is not King Cole. It is Amy Winehouse.
Yeah.
That was Amy Winehouse's posthumous Grammy. Shared with Tony Bennett.
Did you watch
two
that documentary?
No.
Oh, it was good.
Oh, the Amy. It's nominated for. Did you watch it?
What now?
You're
the Amy
number
documentary?
One fan.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet. No.
It's like nominated really for an Oscar.
I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. She sang that song on
I'm on dad time.
Oh, you had footage of that.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Would have helped me.
Roy Orbison is dead.
Yes.
He was nominated for but did not win a Grammy for this 1989 song, which reached number 9. On the Billboard Hot 100 that year. 1989, Roy Orbison hit in the Billboard Hot 100 for the first time in a long time with this song, which was nominated for a Grammy. Would have been a posthumous Grammy.
Hmm.
Karen says Pretty Woman. Dana says Pretty Woman. Colin says Pretty Woman. That is a much older song. The song is You Got It.
Oh, yes.
Anything you want, you got it. Anything you need, you got it. It was 1989.
Was that a
big return for him?
Was that a solo? I thought that was Traveling Wilburys.
No, that was a solo.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Oh, man, that's a lot of commercials.
Yeah, crazy. This country singer, this is really interesting. This is, and I'm not just saying, this is a really interesting bit
of trivia.
A really
well-written question.
This country singer has won posthumous Grammys for Best Music Video twice since his death. Once for the song Hurt, and once for the song God's Gonna Cut You Down.
Oh, I didn't know about the second one.
Everyone says Johnny Cash. Everyone gets a point.
Yay.
Yes. This rap artist was nominated for Best Rap Solo Performance after his death in 1997 for his song Hypnotize, but he did not win.
Mm.
This rap artist, nominated for Best Rap Solo Performance, appropriately, after his 1997 death for his song Hypnotize, but he did not win. Oof. We're going to have answers now. Colin says Notorious B.I.G.
Oh,
Dana
yes.
says Tupac.
Mer.
And Karen says Big Papa.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to clarify. Oh, yeah?
Okay. That is,
all right.
That is
well, you know what? I'll say that. Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yes, Colin and Karen get a point each. It is the Notorious B.I.G. That ties us up at 3 points each.
Wow.
All right.
This film legend, silver screen legend, won a posthumous Grammy in 1992 for a spoken word book of classic children's stories.
Screen legend.
I will say, let's chop the number of possible candidates in half. It is a woman.
Okay.
Roughly half. Slightly less than half.
92, you said?
1992. She won a posthumous Grammy spoken word book of classic children's stories.
That means she died right before.
In like 91 or possibly in the very beginning of 92. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I'm either way off, or this is a good job. Right,
you know,
moment.
You know, if you get it, it's a great point.
I pulled it out.
Wow, Karen says Audrey Hepburn. Colin says Audrey Hepburn.
Oh.
Dana says a big fat blank. No, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. I'm looking. You write these. You like write your numbers. You write so many other numbers. Like, I don't know what one to look at.
Ahead. There you go.
Dana says Lucille Ball. It was a good guess on Dana's part, but Colin and Karen are correct.
Man,
Audrey Hepburn.
I put Judy Garland first, and I was like, oh,
spoken
I think she died before
word
that.
Book of children's stories. Got that Grammy. The winner of the Best World Music Album in 1993 was dead. So he didn't know that he'd be actually fighting it out for this award with his daughter, who was nominated for the same award that year. Who is the
World
one
music?
Who was died?
World Music.
So World Music, 1993, he had died. But that same year, both he and his daughter were nominated for the Best World Music Album.
Oh.
And he won. Oh. And his daughter did not win. His daughter accepted the prize for him.
Oh.
But she didn't win it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I have a guess.
You have a guess? I will give you the title of the album. Maybe this...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you the title. Title is The Living Room Sessions Part 1.
Oh.
Turns out that didn't really hurt anybody. The Living Room Sessions Part 1. Best World Music Album, 1993. The winner, not alive.
Ozone Wat.
No.
But his daughter was also up for the same award that same year. All right, I'm going to want some answers fairly soon. Karen wrote something down already?
No.
Colin says Bob Marley. Yeah. Dana says Bob Marley. Karen says Ravi Shankar.
Yeah,
and Karen is
that's,
correct.
Yes! That's what it
Did
is. Yeah.
Daughter Anushka Shankar was also nominated.
Not Nora Jones.
Not Nora Jones, who would have her own time in the sun a little bit later.
That's why it was like 93, not 2003.
Yeah. That's
right. Yeah. Oh my God.
His daughter,
good
but not
job,
the daughter
brain.
You're thinking of. Well,
I got RA and then I scratched it.
And you had it so early, too. The instrumental Marwa Blues off of the album Brainwashed won a posthumous Grammy for who?
No year.
The instrumental Marwa Blues off of the album Brainwashed won a posthumous Grammy for who?
What a weird album name.
Mm-hmm. And some of these are tough. Some of them are tough. Colin says John Coltrane. Dana says John Lennon. And Karen says David Bowie.
What if this just happened?
I don't think Chris is that on top of the ball.
No.
Oh, man.
That would have
been crazy if it had just...
Yeah. That was a pretty audacious gamble.
Well, he was checking his phone this whole time, so I was like, maybe.
Sure. Oh, that could be a thing. You know what? But how would I know that? Anyway, no. It's George Harrison.
Brainwashed
is George Harrison's last one. Okay.
I wanted that to be true, just so...
I know. Wouldn't that be great?
That
we're going into the final question.
All right.
Karen has 5, Colin has 4, Dana has 3. Dana, again, you find yourself out of it.
Although I might tie with Colin.
Although you might tie with Colin for a second, certainly.
Yeah.
Way to hope that I get
Colin
this one
might
wrong.
Tie with Karen for first, or Karen might pull ahead. In fact, if you all get this correct. So let's see who is the winner. Mm-hmm. This singer-songwriter hosted the Grammys 5 times, but never won a single Grammy, despite his incredible popularity, until after his 1997 death. Despite his incredible popularity, this singer-songwriter, although he hosted the Grammys 5 times, never won a single Grammy until after his death in 1997.
Jeez, this seems like this should be a household name.
I have no...
You have nothing? Okay, so Karen has nothing. Dana says Frank Sinatra, and Colin says Paul Anka. I'm so personally disappointed. He's very near and dear to my heart.
James Taylor.
He is still alive.
He's alive!
I've seen him in concert.
Weird Al. He's
it's
alive.
Not Weird Al. Still alive.
Also still alive. Also has not hosted 5 times.
Yes.
Who is it?
It is the late and great, dearly missed... John Denver.
Oh, is he dear to your heart?
Indeed.
I didn't know he hosted the Grammys 5 times.
He hosted the Grammys 5 times. They never gave him a freaking Grammy. And after he died in 1997, he won for
Rainbow.
Best Children's Music Album, because he had just released an album called All Aboard, which was a train. It was train songs for kids.
That's cute.
It was his last studio album. Well, anyway, after all of that, our winner is Karen.
Yay!
Yeah. Big 5 points.
I know my deceased Grammy winners.
You do, and Karen, I should have said, for your efforts here today, you win a big prize.
Is it a Grammy?
It is your very own... posthumous Grammy.
Aww. Did you just make this?
It's already fallen apart.
Folded into a viola.
A coffee filter.
Is it a coffee filter or a paper plate?
I think it's a paper plate.
Paper plate.
Yeah.
It was once...
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It's like the vaguely
gramophone shaped.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take a picture of it and put it on the site. It's actually not bad.
That's not bad. Yeah, that's heirloom quality.
Everybody, shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, Box of Oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies?
Well, of course you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww. Yeah.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
Thing done weird things. Cat and Jethro, Box of Oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the Box of Oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
All right, we have one last segment.
All right.
After my big win.
Yeah, congratulations, Karen.
Thank you.
So this year is a special year because it is a leap year.
Oh, woo! Yeah.
Yes. So leap year means there are 29 days in February. Usually there are 28. Yeah. So I have a quiz for you guys about leap year. At first it'll maybe be a little conversational and then we'll get into it with buzzing in. So you guys can buzz in. Okay. So we'll start it off with this. What are the three rules for determining if it's a leap year? There are three rules, not just
like
one.
Like science rules?
No.
Well, isn't... Okay.
If you're working the calendar, how do you know?
Divisible by four. Yes. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Except,
all right, divisible by four, except what, maybe century years? Maybe even centuries?
No.
No? Was there one in 2000? I don't remember.
Okay. One every 4 years.
There isn't one every four years.
I guess not.
No, it's every 4 years, but then every once in a while you have to either add one or skip one, right? Because it's not exact.
It's every 4 years, except years where it's divisible by 100.
Okay.
Unless it's also divisible by 400. So 2000, yes, was. But 2100 won't be. 1900 won't have one.
Yes. Okay, so they every 400 years you don't have a leap year.
2000, yes. 2100, no.
Right.
2200, yes.
No.
Oh,
not 2300.
24,
yes.
Got it. Whoa.
Not every 100 years.
No.
Unless it's divisible by 400. 400.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I never knew that until I found this out.
Well, yeah, because we don't live that long to know that. Yeah.
Maybe we'll make it to 2100 and see the no leap year.
You made it to 2000.
But we saw a leap year.
That was
in 2000.
What
you're saying is most people only cross over one of those.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's going to be whatever it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what kind of calendar do we use? Is it
Gregorian?
So we use the Gregorian calendar, and that was preceded by the Julian calendar, which was made by Julius Caesar. And that one also had leap years in it.
Oh.
But they did it every 4 years, and it started slipping. It started getting further and further away from being on
You start noticing, so, like, wait a minute.
It's colder than it was.
Last April.
Yeah.
I don't think we should start plowing the land yet.
Yeah,
there's a lot of snow still on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so that's why they started the 100-year thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was because it does start adding up over time.
Yep. It's that fudge factor.
That's weird.
Yes. Okay, so now here are some little quiz questions about leap years for you guys. Leapling is a name for somebody who's born on the 29th.
Oh,
of course
cute.
It is.
Yeah, Leapling. It's very cute.
Leapling.
What American rapper, singer, and actor, most known for his number one hit with Ashanti, Always on Time, is a leapling? Karen.
Ja Rule.
Ja Rule. He's a leapling. You can think about that when you look at her. Yeah. The 2010 Amy Adams movie, Leap Year, is based on the idea of Bachelor's Day. What is Bachelor's Day?
Whoa.
It's a thing in the people in the UK maybe know about.
I thought it was like a Sadie Hawkins kind of
That's the
deal,
first thing I would guess.
Where
some
you
sort
go
of,
find
yeah.
it. Because, well, that was the plot of the movie.
Oh,
she was
okay.
in Ireland,
yeah.
right?
A woman can ask a man to marry her, and if he turns her down... he has to buy her some expensive gifts. And one of them was
February 29th.
On February 29th, it's not a scandal if you're a woman and you ask a man to marry her.
What if he said yes and you're like,
you're asking
this.
Because you want it. There were, around 1900s, there were all these really funny cards about these women who are like waiting for February 29th and they're setting traps. And then, like, it was, yeah, it was a joke that they had. But now it's more acceptable for women to propose to men. It's not like you have to wait for February 29th to do that. If you think that's where you are in your relationship. Yeah, one of the expensive gifts that the men were supposed to buy the women were gloves in order to hide her hands to show that she's not wearing an engagement ring.
Oh, man, what a burn.
I was, yeah, that's kind of
Here, let me buy you a gift, but it's like an insult.
I won't marry you, but you can hide your shame.
Yeah. Here
you
go.
So. You buy him a face bag. Put on the face bag. Yeah.
Swarovski crystals on it.
So. Yeah, right.
It's a nice face bag. It's high quality.
Yeah. Silk.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. All that gleaming just hides your face.
Right. Rabbit fur.
Okay. On 30 Rock, what's the name of the guild creature who lives in the Mariana Trench and trades candy for children's tears?
Man. What was it?
Is it like Leap Pete?
It's close.
Yeah.
Oliver.
He wears blue and yellow.
Yeah, he has a top hat.
Oh,
he looks like it? He's like a cross between Uncle Sam and like a leprechaun.
Yeah, I wanted to say like
Leap Day Pete.
Like Leapy. What is it? What is it?
It's Leap Day William.
Leap Day William. Yeah. Okay.
In the Mariana Trench. Trading candy.
And finally, what Gilbert and Sullivan musical has kind of a primary conceit that the character was born on a leap year? So instead of being able to end his job at 21, he has to do it into his 80s.
Right.
Karen.
Pirates of Penzance.
Yes.
Yeah. Is it like the cabin boy or something? I don't know. I'm really just guessing.
It is Pirates of Penzance.
Woo!
He's supposed to serve till he's 21, but because he won't be 21.
Cute.
Yeah. And they figured out 1900 doesn't count as a birthday because that is like the year that it's not a leap year. So he had to do it an extra 4 years.
Ha ha ha. I know. I'm sure leaplings get really tired of people saying like, oh, you're only five years old. Yeah.
There's a club for people who are leaplings, and
what do they do?
There's a bunch of tech that doesn't support February 29th as a birthday, so they're like, hey, I exist. Like, I would like to be able to put my birthday in this form correctly. And
that's a question for our developer friends out there. So that's the thing, like when you submit, like say your birthday and you're doing the drop down and stuff, like does it auto verify the year that has a leap year?
There's enough people who have that as their birthday that would be something you would have to add.
No, or can you just put February 29th, 1987? Obviously, it's not a year.
Right. I think, Karen's asking, does the drop down, yeah, it could. The answer is it could. Totally it depends could. On how, it depends on how lazy the coder is.
It depends on for what use, like, why are you making this birthday thing?
Yeah.
Is it for the IRS or is it so you can watch an M-rated video game video?
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. Woo. I thought the thing about the not every 4 years.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I had no idea. Well, it hadn't happened in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Every 400 years. Cool. Well, that's our show filled with fun times and quizzes and dead Grammy winners.
Yeah.
And
the best kind of Grammy winner. That sounded like more of a threat than I meant it to. I'm sorry. I didn't. Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. You can find our show, of course, on iTunes, on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
Ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.